Hello, listeners. Welcome to Three Cities Rambling, and we are three great friends from different countries who met while we are all attending graduate school in beautiful, charmed city, Baltimore. As that chapter of our life ended and we moved once again to different cities to pursue the next thing in life, this is a podcast to document our journey, friendship, and most of all, sharing our chapters of adulting from our guests and us with you guys. Hello, listeners. Okay, I know we are super late on this one, and it might even be late February or even the beginning of March by the time you guys listen to this episode. And you already probably heard like 10,000 other podcasts reflecting on your 2020. But, you know, the holidays came, January came rushing in, and then February, and I think all of us, all three of us, got really absolutely slammed under work and life and baby. And so things happened, and it's only now that we managed to jump right back to podcasting, and I'm very glad to be here again with my two friends and to catch up with you guys, listeners. Yeah, and so even though everybody has already reflected on their 2020, I felt like the three of us haven't really had time to sit down together and share our thoughts with each other on how our 2020 had been, and also, you know, what you guys have learned through the past year and what you're looking forward to in the new year. So I thought that, you know, right, I mean, it's March now, but before we continue to let the rush of the new year and all of the craziness that it's already engulfing us right now, to like completely wash us over or under, I just thought that, you know, it might be great for us to take some time out for all three of us to just share on our own reflections. I guess like very quickly, I'd like to hear from all of us. How would you describe 2020 in three words? What are they? Who would like to start first? Anyone?
I can start.
Oh, okay. You first.
Okay. Well, you will have all have a chance. Sure. I can go first. For me, the three words would be frustration, which is like the immediate emotion. Then learning. And then inequity. So for frustration, I think as many people can, will probably agree, 2020 put a wrench in a lot of people's plans, including mine. Things that I thought were under my control or under my purview were definitely not. So those expectations were shattered in terms of travel, in terms of getting to different places to learn or do things. So definitely frustrated a lot of my ambitions and plans for the year. Learning, I said also, because it also did provide an opportunity since we were all, you know, holding at home to use our time a little bit differently than we might have normally done. So I think I had the opportunity and space to do learn things that I guess I wouldn't have, you know, done elsewhere. And also just to be more introspective since you are spending time by yourself and, you know, with your close friends only. And then finally, I would say inequity, which is something I've been seeing more and more as the pandemic deepens, I guess, or its effects are felt, that, you know, it really impacts people differently. And, you know, by class, by race, by a lot of different factors. So, you know, also becoming much more aware of those imbalances. Yeah, so those are my three.
very similar to mine. But before I go into mine, maybe let's start with Hyunmyeon, because 2020 is a very special year for her.
Yeah, it changed everything. My three keywords,
right?
Yeah, can be described as like baby, baby, baby. These are the three words. But yeah, I was joking, and my three keywords that I picked was like, first is of course baby, and second is like frustration, as Liz mentioned, and also relationship, because as you guys know, I gave birth last year in March, and that changed my whole life. I think the spectrum of my life, it changed everything, because it was first time in 10 years that I took a break from work and being a dedicated full-time mom. And I mean, the happiness that baby is giving to me was also great, but the frustration that I cannot control her. I mean, baby is not like what I expected, and that situation that COVID that hit, you know, I cannot even go out with my baby. I had to be all day in my home. That was really frustrating. Yeah, and then my relationship especially in terms of the family wise, because I thought I was ready to be a mom when I was pregnant, and my husband also thought that too, but like in real life was so much different when we had her, you know. So you know, I had a lot of quarrels with my husband because we were all like every day was draining and exhausting, you know. And yeah, now I think we finally got a, I don't know, capacity to embrace our new family member, you know. That's the third keyword, the relationship.
Right. Definitely a year of great challenges and learning. And I think under normal circumstances and years, raising a baby is already very, very difficult, and you guys did it under a lockdown. That is,
I know, incredible,
extra special.
I know. And I think it's really nice to, like, you know, just share and be very, very open and candid here, because, you know, like, I think sometimes we often hear from other people like, oh, having a baby is really nice, and, you know, we always hear the like sugar-coated version. But I think there's a lot of hard truth behind it. You know, it will help encourage a lot more people and a lot more listeners if we are also very truthful about the not so pleasant side of it, and I think that would really, you know, be beneficial. And so thank you so much, Him Yong, for being so candid on our podcast with my our pleasure. Listeners among us three. Yes, and so for my turn, to sum up my 2020 in three words, I think my first word is obviously a bitch.
Talk about
why
candid.
Is that? Yeah.
I think like the best way to describe 2020, really, like the first word that came to my mind was it's a bitch. Obviously, like, I had a lot of plans, a lot of dreams for 2020. I want to travel and see the world more, try and be a travel influencer. Who knows? But all of that, obviously, like, you know, thrown out of the window. Travel was off the tables. And of course, like, you know, on a personal level, like, there's also a lot of other, like, personal plans and chapters that I wanted to achieve, but, you know, none of that got achieved. Obviously, I was just staying at home, nothing happened. But, you know, I guess, like, it also brings, like, you know, with as much as, you know, the year brought a lot of challenges, it also brought a lot of opportunities. So I think my next two keywords are challenges and opportunities, and I think they often go hand in hand. I mean, you guys are both Koreans here. I'm the only one that's ethnically Chinese. But there is a Chinese saying in Mandarin, and that is, 有危机就一定会有转机, something like that. My Chinese is terrible, so like all the Chinese listeners out there, please pardon me. But essentially, it means that, like, you know, every time there is a challenge or like a crisis, there will be opportunities in it. And so, like, I think that's the one word that was holding on to throughout 2020. And then I guess, like, you know, obviously, when COVID happened, like, a lot of businesses went through challenges and hard times. And so, like, my company too went through like a very challenging period, especially during March. And, you know, I was in the marketing team, obviously, like, you know, we work very closely with the numbers. I would say that we were on the front line of the numbers, and like, we watched it just drop like catastrophically, and we were like, oh my god, are we able to survive as a company? Will we have a job after like the month of March, right? So that was like very exciting, and I think that really pushes my team and myself to really, like, I don't know, like, we really, I think it was a year where I would say that all of us get polished. Like, we were just like raw stones or raw gems, and like, it was a year where, you know, we really got polished by all the pressure, external pressure of COVID, and we all became shining like sparkling diamonds at the end of it. Yeah, you know, we became more creative, we worked really hard. So work, I guess, like, you know, it was just
a lot of challenges and a lot of opportunities at the same time. And interestingly, my boss too was pregnant last mm-hmm. year and took maternity break for 3 months during summer. And that's when I really had to step up and fill in the gap for her and like did a lot of things. And that's when also I was put through like a steep learning curve of learning, mm-hmm. like, you know, the more strategic level of the business and like, you know, how to do like higher level types of reporting and like basically learning from my boss how to be a CMO. And so I was acting CMO for like the whole summer. And then after that, another curveball came for me in 2020, and that's when my boss announced that she's not coming back for her maternity leave after the summer. So I thought I would have a break, but I didn't have a break because she resigned.
Never came back.
Yeah. She never came back. And like I said, every time there is a crisis, there will be an opportunity. And so, yeah, acting interim director became the real deal. And so I stepped up and I mean I was promoted and
oh wow, congrats.
Yeah, and then thank you but yeah, very stressful. That's something that I'm learning that oh my god, like, as you go up the ladder at work, it has its own new set of challenges, and I'm challenged and stretched in very very different ways now. Something that I'm still learning and trying to cope with the new kind of stress that I'm put through every day. But I think that describes 2020 in a nutshell for me, like bitch, challenges and opportunities. Yep. Okay, so enough of my jabbering, and thank you for giving me your three words. I guess like I wanted us to go a little bit more introspective as we, you know, go deeper into this episode's discussion. So, of course, we all know that 2020 was a huge letdown and, you know, a year of, like, losses for many people around the world. And I don't want to put this very lightly at all. But, you know, if we were to reflect and do some, like, you know, self-reflection, realization, what would be some lessons that, you know, you have gleaned or you can draw from this very special year that, you know, you hope that you can bring into your future with you? So anybody else wants to, maybe our exhausted mommy, would you like to start first?
Yeah, I mean, I've mentioned it earlier, but like my biggest takeaway in 2020 was obviously being a mom, mm-hmm. not only like physically, but also mentally and like with heart, because, mm-hmm. You know, having her and noticing that she'll be all by myself, like from now on forever until I die, oh, you know, God. that thing I was never, I mean, I imagined a baby in my, mm-hmm. when she was in my stomach growing,
yeah.
I never, expected her to grow like me, like in 30s and like 40s, and I have to be there, support her, right?
It is so scary.
Yeah, it's a long term, and I never thought long term when I planned like having a baby. So mm-hmm. it was a little bit frustrating and like I don't know how to say like bombing experience. I don't know.
Earth shattering.
Yeah. And then I like and. I, as I said before, that the baby was the only thing in my life that I cannot control, you know, like mm-hmm. before having a baby, if I try my like best effort, I can actually achieve in some point of level, right? But like, but mm-hmm. for in terms of baby, I cannot do that. I have to, I have to, my schedule and time and my sleep has all depending on the baby's biorhythm, you know.
Right.
So it
right.
was really challenging year for me, but like as I said before, I think I mean through the hard practice of a year and in the extreme situation like COVID, I think I am getting used to it now.
Hmm.
And yeah, and like from March, I mean this week she started to go to childcare center. Be prepared for adapting to a new environment. Yeah, you know. Yeah. So I think me and my baby and my husband are all like adapting to this new like drastic change. I think this is the big takeaway in 2020 for me. Yeah.
Right, right, right. And how's so far her getting to daycare?
I mean, she is boring me. Her like characteristic is a little bit sensitive and like careful, you know.
Oh.
So she cried a lot actually. on the first date. But yeah, because the first week of childcare center, I have to be there for a whole day. I mean, not whole day, just an hour session. And so she is, so that she can be relieved, like seeing me beside her. So it's one of the adaptation process. So I think she will get used to it eventually anyway. Yeah.
Right. Cool. Well, thank you. How about you, Liv? What is your biggest takeaway?
Yeah, I think it's similar to hearing in a sense. Not the baby part, but the control part. Because I think, you know, 2020 for a lot of people highlighted how little we have control of things. Like things that we think are so, so straightforward, even just as not. And so I think that was a big lesson for me because I am a big planner. I like to know where things are. I don't like ambiguity. I like knowing the plan and knowing the next steps and, you know, what I can do, you know, to prepare. So all of that went out the window with COVID. So it really was a big learning curve for me to be okay with uncertainty. And I think I'm getting better at it, but I think still in my nature, I like want to control things. I want to know what's going to happen next and, you know, plan ahead, but, definitely learning there. And I think, the other thing I really thought about was, you know, as a society, how kind of like bloated or glutted we are, in a lot of ways. Like a lot of the things that we couldn't do, I feel like were superfluous. Like travel is great, but it's not essential, right? Essential is like finding food to eat, like having a livelihood, having family, right? And so I think it highlighted for me that like, wow.
Travel is still essential for me though.
But really as a human, right? Like those are kind of, there are a lot of luxuries in our life that we could do without. Like it sucks that we can't have it, but you know, we already have so much that even like clothes, I was like, oh my gosh, during
the
COVID pandemic, I'm like, rarely dress up or anything. I'm like, wow, I could really live off of like, you know, a really small wardrobe if I really wanted to or needed to, right? So just kind of thinking about that and how, you know, how dependent we are on other people too, you know, as a society. It's not just about me doing what I want and, you know, the luxuries in life that I'm pursuing, but everything is really interconnected with other people. So I don't know, I guess I had this like broader thoughts about like as a society, how we function and you know, what we're headed towards. And I think the last thing that was really highlighted during this time for me was the importance of family. I guess a lot of people also will commiserate with or, you know, empathize with, because my brother, actually my older brother who lives in California, has been staying with us since like September. He's been with us for almost 6 months plus, because he was also here in the beginning of the pandemic as well, because he was living by himself in California. And just like a lot of, no matter how great a state is or great a house or place is, it really is like worthless, I guess, if you don't have the people and community around you. And so for a lot of people, I think we saw a migration back to where they were from, back home. Even if it's not the most glamorous of places, it's better to be with family than be by yourself, you know, in the most beautiful place in the world. So I think that was also something that came to mind. How about you, Steph?
Yeah, I think it's so interesting, like how, I mean, I didn't have a baby, obviously. And there was no big milestones in life, but very interestingly, I think my takeaway was just all very similar to you guys. I guess like COVID was one big shared experience that all humanity had gone through last year. So I think the year definitely made me more inward looking. I'm also like, you know, a planner, and I have like life goals, like, you know, I have things that I want to achieve, and obviously all that got stripped away, and I realized that how very little control we have. And I think it really helped us to like refocus on like the things that truly matter. Because, like, you know, obviously when COVID hits, I see people, you know, who unfortunately lost their jobs, or like, you know, industry that got wiped out, or like, you know, businesses impacted. A lot of things are just like really out of our control. And at the end of the day, what really, really mattered, I guess, at the end is the people around us and the relationship. And so, like, you know, everything is just so fragile and like fleeting. Like, even for your job, like, your business can be, your company can be doing well, and then the next moment is not, and like everything can be wiped out, and like whatever that you have been striving for can just be wiped, you know, erased. And so, yeah, I think it really taught me that at the end of the day, none of that striving for external things is worth it. And what really mattered the most at the end of the day was just like the people who loved you and the people that you cherish around you. So I think like the year also, like, you know, it stripped away a lot of this external factors for me. And yeah, and realized a lot more things. And like, I had to find joy in like the more simple stuff. I think I found it a little bit difficult for myself because, like, you know, I'm just very event focused, activity focused, things that, you know, like, you know, that has to happen for me to create that kind of a feeling that I'm achieving something or like milestones. And I think one of the frustration I ran into last year with such a personality was the lack of progress that I'm feeling, that I'm feeling very stagnant. I'm just feeling as stagnant as I am physically at home. And so I actually, like, last year I started bullet journaling again. A while, I mean, I used to do that, but then I stopped. And then last year I started bullet journaling again because I needed to feel some type of progress. Yeah. Because if I'm not going physically outside, like mentally and emotionally, I wanted to make sure that I am doing something and achieving milestones, because I'm just such a milestone-oriented person. So, like, I created bullet journals of like, okay, I want to be able to work out twice a week. Did I achieve that? And I would just tick it off my book. And like, yeah, I did it. I did it in my apartment. Or like, did I read two books? I did. I read two books in a month or something like that. So I started like trying to chart little progress that way. But yeah, I think like the year really revealed a lot to myself. Like, I never knew this nature of mine, this personality of needing to have milestones and checklists so desperately that I felt, you know, that I had to do something like that. And then of course, like, you know, trying to also teach myself to focus on the things that really matter. But it's a constant struggle with like a work that is like super busy. It's really a struggle between like wanting to spend more time on the things that you know matter versus like what is needed to be done, because someone else gives you the pressure and like wants you to do it in order for you to maintain your job and to, like, you know, get paid. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you still need to get paid in order to like eat and put food on your table. So yeah, it's that constant struggle, even though I know, but, and that's my biggest takeaway, but, you know, unfortunately, that's like this tension between what I learned and the reality and how I'm trying to cope with it. Yeah, so that's my spiel on my takeaway in 2020.
And Stephanie, what you said earlier about like things being stripped away, anything could like go at any moment. I thought that was so true. I felt it so literally when do you guys remember the Lebanon's explosion?
Yeah.
Like, in an instant, I don't know if you guys saw that video. It was like, no. You know, you're like hanging out with your friends and then boom, there's like this giant cloud that, like, you know, swallows the whole city and like hundreds of people are dead. Like, the businesses are destroyed and like,
right. Wow,
it was very, it was very raw, you know, for me as well, to think about like, wow, we work so hard, we have so many goals, we try to do X, Y, and Z, and then honestly, if like an explosion like that happened, we're done, you know?
I know.
The fragility of life, like how much we can't control, and, you know, what are we spending our time and our effort every day ultimately for? That really made me think a lot.
Yeah. Unfortunately for me, I feel like it's still not very, like, having that realization, but I'm still kind of also at the same time stuck. I mean, this is real talk here. Like, I still feel very stuck, right? Like, I know that ideally I want to be able to spend more time with like friends and family that matter. But then at the same time, I know that I'm working like just way, way overworked. Mm-hmm. I work like more than like 14 hours or like 18 hours in the day, just like grinding away, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if I were to count, I mean, I didn't really like count, like, I really do work, and even weekends I'm working most of the time. More recently, I went back. Most recently, I actually went back to Singapore to visit my parents in December. I think that was something very fortunate that I could do. And yeah, even then, like, I was working day and night.
Wow.
Okay. So I'm not sure if you guys are, you know, believers in setting New Year resolutions and goals. From the sound of it, I think we all are, since we're good friends. I think we're probably very similar, but I don't want to assume. But yeah, I mean, did you actually set any goals for yourself, or at least have some plans for the year? Were you able to achieve like some of it, or were you able to at least like pivot it into something else unexpected?
I guess I can go. So I'm actually not a New Year's resolution person.
Nice.
Like January 1st, boom, I have this like, you know, set of goals. I don't really do that. But like you, Stephanie, when COVID hit and I was like, wait a minute, I have so much time now. I should probably do something more productive with my time than like watching Netflix all day, which was like,
that's what I did.
The first month, I think, of coronavirus. So I was just like, oh, look at all these movies I can't watch. And then I'm like, wait, there's nothing else to watch. Anyway, so like in the beginning of the quarantine, I kind of thought about, hey, what are some things that I wanted to do, you know, years past, but I just never had the time to or didn't have the motivation to. Mm-hmm. So I actually wrote down like seven. I even wrote like seven KPIs on my phone that I wanted.
KPI.
To.
Yeah. Yeah. Life KPI. So impressive.
I know, very impressive. So year-end review. So we're now doing your year-end review of your KPI. Right?
Yeah. Show me the metrics. What percent did I get? But yeah, so one was like physical health. I wanted to like lose a certain amount of pounds because like the COVID 15 or whatever it is, like, you know, the beginning of the year was very real.
Oh my God, yes.
I wanted to read a lot more. So I said like read 7 books. I wanted to practice Spanish because I had done it in high school, but not really, you know, done it more, but I'm using it more for my work, or it's more important for work these days. Mm. I also wanted to be more creative. So to write a short story
on the my
bucket list, to learn guitar, so more musical, volunteer, and to invest financially. Wow. So those are my 7 goals for the year. And I'm actually surprised when I thought about it not too long ago, I actually did all 7, but 3 are still ongoing, as in like, I don't think I've actually accomplished it yet, but at least I've like made strides in that area. Like practicing Spanish, for example, I'm definitely not proficient, but you know, have done something. But also found new hobbies like hiking, cooking, painting. Like these are things I don't consider my normal hobbies, but you know, again, in the boredom of COVID, just was like, hey, why not? Let's try this something new. Like trying to like create a new dish every week. Try a new dish every week, things like that.
Oh my God.
So all in all, I think the pandemic helped me to explore areas and skills I wouldn't have necessarily focused on before. It truly was like a blank slate. You know, I can be like, wow, I have so much time now, extra time, not commuting or not meeting with friends on the weekend. So like what are some more productive endeavors? But I do think that it's I am very fortunate to have been in this position, because I know also the flip side of things where people got hit really hard. They actually don't have any time, right? They're even busier, right? Because of the pandemic, like healthcare professionals or small business owners who just don't have the means, like money-wise, right? Because of how it's impacted their business to be able to even like enjoy the free time off. So anyway, I know that's not a common experience for all. And I know in the beginning of the year, I think there was like a lot of memes and like a lot of like Facebook posts going around saying like, don't be ashamed if you're not productive. Like, we're just trying to survive, which I think is completely true. Like, you have some people who are like goal setters and, you know, trying to get everything done, and others who are just like really just trying to get by. So,
I saw like different types of meme from you, like on TikTok. They were like the people who came out of like quarantine and lockdown, like becoming like fluent in like 4 new languages, business, whatever, and like X, Y, Z. And then I'm just like, and here I am sitting on my couch. I'm like, I'm just gaining weight. That's all I can
do. That definitely did happen for me too. But
oh my goodness. Like, when I went home in December and my mom saw me for like the first time after so many months, the first thing that she said when she looked at me was like, she looked at me up and down. She go like, oh my God, you're fat.
Oh no. Thanks, mom.
Yep. So I literally spent 2 months in Singapore trying to lose weight. I was like, I am determined. I am going to eat a smaller portion. I am going to teach myself not to eat an American size anymore. I'm going to eat a Singaporean size meal, which is a lot smaller. And I'm going to work out 3 times a week or something. Wow. Like that was my, yeah. But anyway, sorry that I got you guys distracted from the question. But yeah, that is so impressive. 7 KPIs and you achieved them all. You make me feel so small. Seriously, the only thing I gained out of last year was, I watched so many Korean dramas, so many Chinese dramas.
Hey, you got promoted at work. That's a big accomplishment.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, yeah.
Even though, I mean, you know, it's hard. I'm sure it's hard, but still, you know.
That was like the only thing that.
That's a huge thing, though.
I felt like I fell in the other bucket whom you described just now, where like, you know, people were like saying they gained so much free time, they can bake. There's like the sourdough making, and like, you know, everybody is like baking and cooking, and I'm just trying to like eat at my desk and survive every day. Yeah. Like, oh my God, work is so busy. So yeah, unfortunately, like, yeah. So I feel like instead of like it was like a 2020 goal, but now I think it's just my 2021 goal is to find spaces for myself, find time and like space where I can actually really pursue the KPI. That way, I say it's KPIs I set for myself anymore, because I think one thing I learned from 2020 is to not set any KPIs for my life and for myself. Seriously, nothing is gonna like pin out the way exactly like how you plan it. So,
yeah, but I think it's also hard. I don't know about like the working at home. I know someone had told me that, like a kind of like a sidebar, but like I think it also makes it challenging that we're working at home. It's like a blessing and a curse, because you know, you don't have to go into the office, but it's not like someone described it as not working from home, but you're living at work now.
Yeah.
Like, you have no separation.
Oh my God, that is so true.
Yeah. So even if you feel like, oh, I have so much time now, I don't have to go to the office and you could lunch. Well, it's like, I feel like you work even more. There's no separation in your weekend or your evening. So
true. So very true. My boss can help me every now and then. Well, what about you, Kim Young? Did you have your KPIs?
I did. I was so excited because I told you that I'm taking a year. I was taking a year off, right, for the paternity leave, and I was so excited. I had a lot of like long list of goals that I wanted to achieve. Like for example, like mastering Japanese. Like Liz wanted to master Spanish.
Yeah. Oh my God, you guys are all just like mastering languages.
But no, the result is no, not at all. And I wanted to also learn a program called Sketch. It's a UX design tool.
Yeah.
Because I kind of used that quite often when I was working, and I wanted to master that. But and yoga also, but like it didn't take long till I figured out maternity leave is not like taking a break or just chill and relax, you know. So yeah, you know, at first I was so much frustrated because everything seemed beyond my control, and the frustration that I cannot spare any second for myself really was big and like challenging. And then I decided to adjust my goals a little bit to be more achievable and realistic. So what I did was like what you did, Stephanie, about bullet journaling. So I also felt that setting a long-term goal at this moment is kind of meaningless at this moment. So yeah, instead I set a simple daily goals, like making a bed every morning, drink a glass of warm water every morning, like having my nutritional supplements, practicing yoga at least for an hour, read 2 chapters of a book, and so on. And I had a huge list of these to-dos. And like, and because these simple and basic goals were the easiest to be ignored. Yeah. So I believed making a robust and healthy habits should naturally lead to achieve a great and long-term goal. So I guess 2020 for me was the year of growing the basic physical and mental fitness.
Yeah, I mean, you achieved the most in 2020.
Really?
Seriously. I think having a baby and raising it for the first year.
The problem is I cannot feel that way, you know. Just baby's just here, but I cannot feel like that's something that I achieved, you know. Because, yeah, it's...
Yeah. The baby is alive and thriving. That is achievement.
Thanks.
It is. We cannot make it sound so like, you know, I think we often overlook just how hard it is to just like raise a baby every day. And so like, it's very easy to just forget and just look at your own life in terms of all the other things that you missed out on achieving. And you'll be like, I cannot practice my sketch. I didn't master my Japanese, but you know, like, but it's because you are achieving something else that is like far greater and
much more talented.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. She's gonna turn 1 this March. Oh. It was just for March 31st though.
We're gonna hit 1 year anniversary of COVID already, guys.
Oh my gosh, don't say that.
And baby G is also 1 year old.
Oh, I thought COVID would end in like the summer of last year.
I know.
Oh, you guys are so optimistic.
I was like, oh, by May it should be good. Longest it will be in July. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, that was my boss, you know, my co-founder. He's like, we'll be out, we'll be done soon, and the business is gonna resume. And I was like, yeah.
And here we are at the 1 year mark.
Right. Okay. So, you know, with all that learning and all everything that we learned in 2020, I guess I didn't really have too much to contribute as well, since I clearly failed in my KPI. So, you know, I'm interested to hear, what are your new year resolutions for this year? I know that, you know, Liz, you're not too big of a new year resolution person, and me neither. I think that, and we also, you know, we all learned that we don't want to set too grand goals for ourselves either. What are the things that you rolling into 2021 now, you know, what would be your personal goals, and what would you like to be able to have, I guess, like, quote unquote, achieved? Anybody you would like to go first?
For me, my 2021 goal is to be more efficient, because I'm going back to work this June or all year, I don't know. And then it's the life is going to be much tough. Because I have to send my kid to childcare center and work, and then pick her up and then play with her until she sleeps. Generally.
Another round of challenges.
Endless. I mean, endless working, even at work and at home, you know. So let me, before having a baby, I was just the kind of person that the time that you spend. Is limitless, you know. If I have if I am struggling with a difficult task at work, I can just sit there forever, you know, until I figure it out. Even I could also bring that home and try. Of it, but that is not possible from now on. So I thought I have to be more time efficient, and even though it's not like perfect, I don't have to strive for to be the perfect. Right. I can just choose an option B if it's not like you know, possible, you know. So yeah. That's one of my goals, to be more efficient, because I have to make a good balance between my life and my work. Yeah, that's my biggest 2021. I don't know if I can do it or not. I'm just so nervous.
Are you going back to your same company? Are you joining back your same company?
Yeah.
Company. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the childcare center is supported by the company I'm working.
That's so nice.
Yeah. So I'm like, it's a limitless prison or something.
That's crazy though. They also give you 1 year maternity.
I know.
Like,
we should all go to Korea. Such great benefits. Seriously.
It's true. Yeah. Because there are a lot of accidents happening like normal private childcare center in Korea. That's a huge issue in Korea now. Wow. But like company supported childcare are more trustworthy, I think.
That's really cool. I never knew about this. I mean, this is really cool for Korea to have. I think, wow, it's a very supportive system. I don't think this is available in the US here.
Nope.
I'm just prepared to be a YouTuber when it's my turn. There's only way to have a work-life balance. A podcaster and a YouTuber. Oh my
God. A travel influencer.
Well, I can only be a struggling influencer because, you know, I don't think I can grow a channel any bigger.
Yeah, oh, you can. You are a marketer.
Well, oh, we'll see. Go, girls. 3CD Rambling, let's make it big.
Yay.
Tell your friends. What? People.
Sorry?
No, I'm saying listeners, tell your friends.
Oh, yeah. Please. Subscribe, follow, tell your friends if you enjoy listening to us rambling. Well, what about you, Liz? What are your quote-unquote New Year resolutions for this year?
Yeah, I still have my like ambitions for like specific skills or knowledge I want to acquire this year. Like I want to learn like new coding languages and really become like proficient in Spanish, especially just like preparing for this changing work life as well. Like thinking about like, is my job going to be obsolete in like 20 years?
Right.
How can I make sure that I'm relevant? So things like that, I definitely want to be honing and acquiring new skills that I think will be important even in the future. But I think in general, since 2020 was such an insular year, that also really highlighted, like I mentioned earlier, just the brokenness of our systems, the inequities of our systems, the backwardness of our systems. Like, how is it that some people like made money during the coronavirus pandemic by like, you know, extravagant amounts just by like putting it in stocks, right? Whereas other people are they just like lost the business and the business that they had for in their family for like 30 years, right? Whatever that is. So just given all those harsh realities, I think I want to focus on building connections with people again, and really building connections not with people that I like, you know, like my friends or my church family or anyone like that, but also like really thinking about how can I try to contribute more to the community that I live in as well, whether that's Baltimore or my own neighborhood. I just want to be more like conscientious of like, I don't live here by myself. Like this community is all interconnected and we rely on each other. So I definitely want to be more mindful of community this year. That's my goal.
That's really cool. Oh my God. Once again, I'm making me feel very, very, very small and tiny.
<Me too. laughs>
My goals are not so lofty and like ambitious or anything. I felt like, okay, so for me, I think 2020 just happened. Like so many things just happened and I didn't really have time. I was just like rolling with the punches for like all year long. And I think for 2021, my goal, it's very different. I think my goal is so small and very, very me focused. My goal really is just to be able to regain some kind of like an inward control of like how I'm feeling or what I wanted to do. If there's something that, you know, I think like, for example, I want to be able to spend more time with people whom I cherish, then I really hope that I'll be able to slowly work my way back and to regain that control. Cause right now, as I said, I'm going through this tension of like knowing what I want versus what I had to do every day. And then feel like my time is not my own anymore and like being robbed away.
Life,
I guess it's very similar to being what Hee Myung is feeling. She's feeling that from her baby and I'm
work
feeling that from my job. My job is my baby. It's like out of control.
It's crying for you.
I know. Oh my God. And I just want to be able to regain some of my own life back and we'll have a work-life balance. I think it's what I'm seeking. I'm not sure if it's entirely possible at all, but I think 2021 is really, I hope to be able to like get back on track on at least like having the sense of like self-control over like what I'm thinking, feeling, and what I want to do and making them more aligned versus just like rolling along. Cause like, you know, 2020 was just like trying to survive, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Just rolling the punches. In 2021, I think I just want to get some of that control back and hopefully again, I'm not sure if it's too ambitious to really hope to be able to travel.
I want to say by the fall we can, but, you know, I'm always more optimistic than
I know, the reality but is. From what I've learned from her in training, I stopped making such plans, I really do hope that we'll be able to travel again, and I'll be able to share some of my traveling experiences with like more people and with you guys. I'm sharing it here so that I can stay accountable to it. That is my KPI for us to review. KPI end of 2021, I will have done something to share travel experiences or something like that.
Is there somewhere you want to go in particular?
Well, I don't even want to be too ambitious right now because I don't know what I even travel.
You can hope. There's always hope. You know?
I don't want to travel. I don't want to get too ambitious and put like international travel because like that's always quarantine involved. I'm hoping now like we can go to at least go to Hawaii.
I hope we can totally travel,
and I hope that means we don't have to. I guess they're still quarantined though.
I don't know. If you get a negative test at least now, you don't have to quarantine.
Okay. Yeah. And if you have like the vaccine, right? I don't know. Will it help?
Well, even without the vaccine, as long as you have a negative COVID test within a couple of days, you should be good. But anywho, everyone check your the travel, you know, restrictions. It changes like every month.
I know, it changes. It changes every day. Oh my gosh. When I was traveling this time around too, oh my goodness. It was like I took the longest time to check in at the airport from Singapore to Japan, and from Japan flying to Chicago. In Japan, they were so thorough. They checked 4 times for my negative COVID test.
Nozzle test?
Yeah, I had to do a COVID test. It's called a pre-departure COVID test. So I had to take the COVID test at least within 3 days before my travel in order to be able to board my plane and fly into the U.S. because, we had a new president, and the new president wants a negative COVID test before you can actually enter America. And so, in Singapore, I was checked once before I checked in, and then in Japan, they were so careful. They checked like 4 times. People asked me 4 times for my negative COVID test. But then when I landed in Chicago, I was very surprised. I was asked 0 times to produce my negative
COVID
test.
Welcome to America.
Oh, wow. I know. And so I was like, aha, I guess things have not changed too much. or America trusted the Asian countries, like international countries, very much. And you know, they're like, you have done your due diligence, so if this person can board the plane, you should be fine. All right. Thank you so much, friends. I think it's, you know, another great time chatting with all of you. And I'm so happy that, you know, we managed to find time again. I know we all got engulfed, swallowed by our work and life. So thank you for spending this time to talk to me about your 2020 and, you know, what you want to hope for going into 2021. And I hope that, you know, as the new year rolls along, 1 year COVID anniversary onwards, we all be able to bring our learning into the new year, and also find ways to regain some of our little controls and find our little joy and our little KPIs.
I think it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting if we check how much KPI we've achieved in 2022, you know?
We'll keep this topic for the next year. And
Hopefully our podcast runs until next year.
that will be one KPI for
us.
Oh,
yeah, true. Yeah, true.
We will keep this podcast alive until next year. At the minimum. All right. Thank you so much. And so, as usual, listeners, if you enjoy what you listen today, remember to follow our podcast on whichever podcast streaming channels that you use, any app that you use out there. Feel free to follow us. If you have any questions, send us an email at 3citiesrambling@gmail.com, and that is the number 3citiesrambling@gmail.com. We hope to hear from you, and we look forward to chatting with you again in our next episode. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.